101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Host and producer, again, Mark Hoke. Hey, everybody! How about we all wake up this morning? That'd be nice. Sorry. Fish, is the sarcasm in my voice
just
kind of dripping?
I was going to say just dripping.
Yes, it's that might be an ooze.
Yeah.
That might be an ooze. Yeah, I'm apparently in the booth.
I'm about to say right now, you and producers are like Charlotte and Becky.
Ooh.
See what I did there? Nice little segue.
Yeah, nice little segue. We're getting to that. Hey, I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us today for another episode of the Mark Hoke Show. Of
course, Mark Hoke Show.
Yeah. John Lindquist is amazing. Look him up. John Lindquist, Nevada Broadcasting Hall of Famer. If you need voiceover work, he's your guy. Period. End of story. He's the man. So make sure you check him out. Oh, wow. The world of professional wrestling is on its ear in so many ways. I think it's on its ear, its pinky toe,
it's
a hangnail.
Yeah.
It's a mess. I'm Marco. We got Andrew Fish Fane here. Fish, what's going on, buddy?
Another beautiful Sunday, baby.
You know, it's kind of a nice, you know, the clouds are out there, but they're...
I do have to give props to WWE for one thing. They're... in Saudi Arabia on Thursday, and then in Wichita, Kansas on Friday. I don't care what kind of athlete you are and what kind of charter jet you're taking. That's pretty impressive.
Maybe that's why everybody was in such a bad mood.
It could very well have been. At least it wasn't the plane ride from hell.
Oh. Yeah, it all hell broke loose, and we're going to talk about that and all sorts of fun things going on in the world of professional wrestling. Joe DeFalco, our regular co-host, unfortunately, once again, not here. He is back in New York. His mother passed away suddenly.
Our thoughts and prayers are definitely with Joe today.
Absolutely. We miss him. And Joe, you're the best. And, you know, hope everything goes well as you take care of business in NYC. And we lost James today, too. James is going to fill in. But apparently an emergency at the El Cortez has...
I had emergencies at the El Cortez. Well, maybe the emergency is the fact that it is the El Cortez.
Oh, now, what if we need a sponsor, Fish? Come on.
If we're getting the Ella Cortez,
get the sports book? I mean,
I'll take money from anybody. I got you.
I'll do a show in somebody's backyard. It's all good. Oh, my God. But so it'll be Fish and I taking the reins today.
I smell what the Hoke is cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. It smells like dead fish. Anyway.
Ouch.
You know, and it's funny, I didn't even think that was going to take a pot shot at you, but I guess it did. I apologize. I'm sorry. Anyway, so much happened over the past week. We're going to try and cover as much as we can. We had a pretty good discussion last night about what happened back in Charlotte and some of the ratings things and Crown Jewel, but I got to give Fish a shot at this stuff first. Before we talk about the cat fight.
Meow.
I want to get into a little bit about what happened on Friday night last week with the ratings. We, of course, when we were in here, we did not have the full ratings picture.
That is correct.
We had the Fast Network ratings, which just said SmackDown won.
Right.
But when you break it down...
God, Degeneration X.
I know. I did it, didn't I?
You did. See, everything comes back to wrestling. That's kind of cool, though.
It is amazing how that works. Well, just to put it nicely, AEW won.
They won the demographic between 18 and 49-year-old males?
And that's what... Well, 18, 49, and that's what counts.
Yeah, but see, everyone says that they won. To me, viewers, there were more eyes on the SmackDown product than there were on the AEW product. But more importantly... it only happened because SmackDown was on FS1.
Yeah, well, I won't disagree with that. I won't disagree.
SmackDown
with that.
On Fox, if it ever has less than a million viewers, will be canceled.
Yeah, that is very true. And but of course, the what ended up happening was the first 15-minute segment where the two shows overlapped. AEW won handily by like 50,000 viewers, like 320 to 270, somewhere in there.
Something like that, right? I thought it was 370 to 320, but I got you.
Yeah, ballpark. So the Becky-Sasha match lost to CM Punk and Matt Sydal. And CM Punk
And all joking aside, is this more of an indictment of AEW versus WWE? Or that people would rather watch a men's match than a women's match. And I'm not trying to knock the women because I think the women are kicking it out of the ballpark. So there's no question there. But in just in the general public's perception, is it a men versus women thing? Or is it a Punk Sydal versus Becky and Sasha?
You know, that is a really good question. And I honestly had never thought of that perspective. You know, I think it's more Punk's popularity than anything else. And honestly, I have a feeling that a lot of the AEW loyals said, you know what, we're going to watch this. We're going to make sure we tune in, too. Because really, when it came down to it, you kind of split the audience at the end there. And you're talking, you know, around 600,000 viewers, and they basically ended up chopping them in half. But, you know, the interesting part to me was the second 15, where you had Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman doing the contract signing, which was a great segment.
Absolutely. And Paul Heyman, by the way, as great as Reigns, his character is, and he may be the best character in all of wrestling right now, Paul Heyman is the best thing in wrestling right now.
Absolutely. I love Paul. God, I would love to meet that guy sometime.
Oh, he's just a genius.
Well, they tied with the Ruby Soho Bunny match.
See, now to
And here's where the real indictment was on that. AEW had to take a commercial break. SmackDown ran commercial free. They couldn't. They had to run a commercial after the Punk match. They at least got cleared to run that first match commercial free. But wow!
But I say to me, that's a much bigger indictment: the fact that Reigns and Lesnar tied Soho and Bunny than the fact that Sydal and Punk beat Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, agreed. And hey, Ruby Soho can say, "Hey, acknowledge me."
Now, if Bunny was bad, does that make her a bad Bunny?
Why are you doing this?
It was just sitting there. Someone
it,
had to
it
do
was,
it.
Well, it was sitting there, and you should have left it sit.
Someone had to give it a punt kick.
No, but a fascinating situation there, and apparently WWE is just saying this is a fluke. We don't care.
Well, they have to say that. What else could they say? Oh yeah, well, you're right. We got our butts beat.
But Fish, I know you're a big WWE guy. Not a big AEW. I'm hoping to get you in on both here at someday because it's great wrestling.
No, absolutely. And I am not so much, although I am a WWE guy, I'm not a WWE apologist either.
Yeah. So, well, what is your impression about what happened? You know, where does WWE go? How should AEW be feeling? You know, give me a kind of a neutral road on this one.
To be honest with you, I think that the companies themselves are putting more into it than it actually should be, because AEW is going to have, and Roman Reigns said it, they're going to have their hardcore fans, and they're going to have their core fans that are going to watch AEW, and the WWE is going to have their fans that are going to watch WWE, and that's not going to change. WWE is trying it. The difference is AEW appeals to the wrestling fan. WWE is trying to appeal to just the general fan. And it's so broad that they have to be more bland, whereas AEW can be more interesting and tell more interesting wrestling stories.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's great. I think it's great for both.
Absolutely.
I think WWE had better start figuring some stuff out because they've got a lot of chaos.
You wouldn't believe that you're saying this 10 years ago, but and we've said it many times. Vince McMahon needs to step down. He is the key ingredient, I think, that's killing WWE. He may have been the one that grew it, but now he's killing it.
No, and the creative process is just. You know, and Vince obviously has final say, but
yeah, it's just
something is not right there. But the problem is that there's no one there that's going to tell Vince no.
No, and when you tell me that going into the show on Friday night, they had no idea how they were going to handle Charlotte having the Raw belt and Becky having the SmackDown belt, that's a huge issue. They should have had that decision handled when they're, okay, if we're drafting Charlotte to SmackDown and Becky to Raw, here's what we're going to do.
A, B, and C. And it should have been thought out that far ahead of time, not know what's going on going into the show on a Friday, which is absolutely ridiculous.
So there's our segue to the Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair dust up.
Yeah, but is this bigger than Nia Jax, Charlotte Flair?
Oh, yeah. This is bad.
Okay.
Apparently, you know, people are now saying the two of them kind of had a little bit of a colder relationship back because of something Becky said about referring to Charlotte's plastic surgeries that she's had done and so on.
And she looks, you look at pictures of Charlotte from, you know, when she was one of the four horsewomen and just coming up to WWE to now, she looks ridiculous.
I didn't say that. I'll just say she looks different.
I mean, it's not bad plastic surgery, but she looks ridiculous.
So here's what happened, for those that didn't see it. Because WWE painted themselves in a corner.
Unnecessarily.
Becky Lynch was the Raw champion, or was the SmackDown champion, but she got drafted over to be on Monday Night Raw. Charlotte got moved over to SmackDown, but she was the Raw champion. And instead of finding a way to...
I'm about to say, real quick, if you think this is deja vu, this did exactly happen when the the New Day was champions on Raw and got drafted to SmackDown, or is it the other way? Yeah, it was the other way around, when the New Day was the tag team champions on Raw and got drafted to SmackDown, and the Street Profits were on SmackDown and got drafted to Raw.
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, but, well, either way, they just switched titles.
Yeah. Which worked for them. It didn't.
It was terrible.
It was still terrible. It worked more so than what this one is because you can't do the exact same thing now, which is what they have to do.
No, and this, so they couldn't come up with a way to somehow get the titles on different people. So on SmackDown Friday night, they had a ceremony in the ring that they were going to switch the belts. That went completely off the rails. I mean, that Amtrak train was headed to Philadelphia, and it turned down to Baltimore.
Stevie Wonder could see how bad a segment that was.
Oh, Charlotte didn't like the way the segment was set up. She didn't want to look bad. She didn't, you know, Becky obviously didn't want to look bad either in the whole thing.
It's not even looking bad. They didn't want to look weak.
Yeah, and so Charlotte ends up, quote unquote, dropping her belt on the ground. And Sonya Deville made her pick it up, and Becky threw her belt at Charlotte. And after this was over, they went back and they got into it. Not physical, but had a rather loud argument about the whole situation. Charlotte would not acknowledge Vince, who was back there. And actually, Charlotte got escorted out of the building. Well, because Becky had to wrestle a match after SmackDown was over. So... And apparently Charlotte is talking about leaving, even though she's got a decent amount of time on her contract.
But the funny thing is her and Becky are two of the people that I would say, if given the opportunity, WWE will never let leave their contracts. In other words, that they will sign, as long as they're able to, they will sign them to extensions. These are people that will not go wrestling in AEW, I do not believe, barring Charlotte going, I'm not re-signing, I don't care what you give me, or Becky saying the same thing.
Yeah, and the whole thing too, and you mentioned this, and I found out about this last night after we'd gone off the air, was that WWE had totally not decided what to do with this. And they had no plans for this whatsoever, even though they pulled this stunt with Becky getting that title off Bianca Belair way back at SummerSlam. How do you not sit down and, I mean, it's like you're driving, you know, you see a wall in front of you a mile down the road. And you're like, oh, look, there's a wall there. I might hit that wall. That wall's getting a little closer. Maybe I ought to slow. Should I turn?
By the time you decide what to do, it's too late. Exactly. Now, am I right in saying that there is more than 2-to-1 men to women on the roster?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's why, to me, what I would do is to make the belts work, I would wait till Survivor Series, have Charlotte versus Becky, unify the belts, one woman's belt.
There you go. See, I'm glad you're on board. I'm glad everybody likes this idea
because
that I came
up with. With the men, because you have so many, I can understand it, both the Universal and the WWE Championship have prestige. right now, neither women's championship belt seems to have that much prestige attached. But you make it one belt and don't make it the Divas Championship, just the WWE.
God, don't say that word.
Right, just, yeah, I don't need that butterfly belt. Just the WWE Women's Championship. Right now you have Charlotte versus Becky for said championship. That match would be huge. I think it would get a, it would draw a huge number of watchers, and it would make the belt a lot more prestigious.
Agreed. I'm with you 100%. The one thing that really bothers me about this is, you know, now everybody's banging on Charlotte. From everything that I've seen, everybody's like, you know, Becky just stood up for herself and you know, and
she's just as much to blame.
Well, no, but I'm gonna take a little different approach. I don't think either of them are to blame. I think WWE is to blame. Creative is to blame.
Yes.
They should have never put those two in that position where they had to do something like that. And you're taking your top, really, your top two people on the women's side and putting them in an impossible place.
See, it's funny because you're absolutely right where neither of them is to blame, but at the same time, I could see why both of them are to blame because both of them are at such a place and are on such pedestals as rightly as they should be, because Charlotte may be the best female sports entertainer out there, that no matter what they do, neither one of them looks weak like they were afraid of looking. So to me, it was like, guys, just grow up. Just switch the belts and let's do this. It neither of you look bad for doing that.
Poor Sonya Deville, by the way. Stuck in the middle of that.
Yeah, well, Adam Pearce was not available for some reason.
If Adam Pearce and said, "Hey, we're gonna have you do this segment," he'd have been like, "Sonya's over there."
Yeah, about to say, who had it worse on Friday, Sonya Deville or Adam Pearce?
Oh, it's terrible. But you know, the one thing that you know, then of course the talk starting that Charlotte wants to get out of there, and I'll be frank to a point, I don't blame her. The way that they have done things with Charlotte over the past few years, especially, you know, the dealings with Rick, the segment that they did a while back when she berated him in the ring.
Is that the Lacey Evans pregnancy segment?
No, that's another one.
Oh, okay.
But a couple years ago, they did a thing where...
No, I remember when she
like,
berated him.
I don't want you around anymore.
You're not my father. Yeah,
and the whole thing that, you know, had to hit home. I mean, that was to ask them to do that. Really, that's why Rick left.
That and the Lacey Evans
and the Lacey Evans thing. And then for people that don't know about that Lacey Evans thing, this was a total fiasco. I mean, Ric Flair is 70 plus years old, married, you know, trying to settle his life down and be okay.
No more helicopters.
And woo. And they come up with this segment where Lacey Evans, another female wrestler, is kind of coming on to him and wants to hang out with Rick. And they're insinuating that they're sleeping together, you know, going back to the old nature boy thing, you know, Lacey's doing it to get to Charlotte. And Charlotte is, you know, furious about this. And then when Lacey actually gets pregnant for real, they insinuate Rick is the father. And if I were Charlotte, I would be so angry about having to do that segment. Just because when you think about, you know, I mean, obviously Rick had the reputation of being the ladies' man.
Absolutely.
They did not have a normal home life. And I'm sure that kind of stuff, those discussions probably happened for real.
Was that any worse than when WWE did that whole thing about, wasn't it, they were talking about, was it Reed Flair, the one that unfortunately killed himself? And they brought that up in a storyline, and that was like 5 or 6. So WWE has done the Flair family dirty for a while.
Absolutely. And now for Charlotte as well, Andrade, who WWE treated like dirt after they brought him up.
Yeah, they ruined him.
He is engaged to Charlotte and wrestling in AEW. He was not happy about this whole thing. He put a little FU WWE tweet. Charlotte has to be sitting there saying, when is enough enough?
No, I agree. And Becky's not going to do that because A, I think she likes to be in WWE, and B, because her husband or fiance,
Seth Rollins,
yeah, is probably the biggest WWE flag waver there is.
Yeah. So this whole situation, you combine that with everything that happened, has gone on in the women's division. You know, this horrible booking that
they
did.
Less than 20 minutes total ring time for the entire Queen's Crown tournament.
And I read an interesting story about that. Yeah, and for those that don't know about that Queen's Crown tournament, similar to the King of the Ring tournament, you know, you get a crown, you get a scepter, everybody's, you know, you get to run around and say you're the king or queen for a year. You know, for the men, it was a pretty prestigious thing, and this was the first time they did it for the women. The women's matches up until Crown Jewel were all under 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, the total time for the entire tournament, women's ring time was less than 20 minutes.
Yeah, and the final was about 6 at Crown Jewel. Now, I heard an interesting story about that, I wish I would have bookmarked the page. From what I had read, they wanted to keep those matches short because, of course, in Saudi Arabia, if you didn't see the pay-per-view, all the women are dressed up in T-shirts, long spandex, arms are covered, everything.
Even the referee who broke other, not laws, broke other ground by being the first female referee.
Yeah. So basically they looked like, and I used this last night, they looked like they were coming back from a jog in November in Boston.
Yeah.
Okay. But apparently the Saudis didn't want to, because they're female, they didn't want to give them much time for that final. So they kept the other matches short so they could have a little bit more time on the, because they're already going to have a short final. So they kept the other ones even short so the final didn't look bad. And instead, everything looked like crap.
Yeah, oh, absolutely ridiculous. And the funny thing is the Saudis minded that much. The triple threat match, which was, by the way, an amazing match. The Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch triple threat. That wasn't short.
No, I just, it makes no sense. But if WWE capitulated to the Saudis like that, and
$50 million will do that.
Yeah, but yeah, understood. But at the same time, it was an embarrassment for those ladies, and I'm sure they are all furious about how this all went down.
Well, like I said, the fact that and no offense to them, the fact that the contestants were Zelina Vega and Carmella and Doudrop, as opposed to having some of your bigger names. I mean, is Asuka not healthy?
She's not back yet.
She's still not back yet.
Still recovering from that wrist.
I thought that, you know, she would have been absolutely perfect, but you know Shayna Baszler should have absolutely been in the finals. If you're going to go by who's the best, she is one of the best. You can't. I think it's undeniable how good she is. Yeah. There were better women to use than the ones they used.
But Zelina's going to be a good queen.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. And props to you for nailing both the king and queen, Xavier Woods and Zelina. I got them both wrong. I said it was going to be the exact opposite.
All hail King Hulk.
That's right. But I'm just at a loss. It's you want to pat yourself on the back for doing such a great job with the women's revolution and all that work you put in, and the great job you did do has been all shot down to hell because you've done such a lousy job since then.
Yeah, and I put that right at Vince. I put that at Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis. And you know if Laurinaitis and those guys had their way, they'd be doing Raw and Panties matches again.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think John Laurinaitis is part of the big problem. I don't know how much pull he has, but I think he's absolutely brutal.
Well, people
in the role
can't
that he
stand
has.
Him. Apparently, as the head of talent relations in WWE, they can't stand him.
No.
But Vince is sticking with his people.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do?
You know, if he was still alive, he'd still have Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe as his stooges. So.
Yeah, but Pat Patterson's actually was good.
Yeah, well, Pat Patterson
could put a match out,
and
he came
up with the Royal Rumble. So yeah,
yeah. So don't be throwing Pat Patterson under the bus.
Well, my point was I was throwing more Vince under the bus for having them as his stooges.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we are going to be headed into commercial break. We come back. I got to give Fish a shot at Crown Jewel, but we got to make sure we talk about some AEW stuff. We had a big card here last night for Impact, Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Belts flying all over the place.
A little predictable, but, you know.
But that's okay. And another tag team won another title. A very prestigious tag team won a title.
Yeah, do the Good Brothers really need to keep winning?
Not who I'm talking about.
I know, but I just wanted to say, did the Good Brothers need to keep winning?
Plus, I got a Paul Heyman story you're going to get a laugh out of. So, everybody, stick around. We'll be back here on KDWN, the Talk of Las Vegas. 101.5 FM, 720 AM. On the Mark Hoke Show. Stick around, more from the world of pro wrestling when we come back.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah, that's me. And Superfish. He's my Nemo.
And you're Fish Nemo? Fate.
Yeah.
What are you, Dory?
No. No, I guess I'm Marlin. That was just bad, I know.
Wow. All right.
Come on, it's Sunday again. Morning.
Welcome back to the Mark Hoke Show.
Yeah! The number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. And I do have to say this real quick. I got a lot of people out there in Las Vegas to thank because some of the ratings were out.
And guess, we beat AEW. Oh, wait, no.
And guess for a couple of weeks, not just the last week that I got to see, guess what was the number one show in this time slot in the Las Vegas market among talk and sports radio stations?
Cooking with...
No, it was us! Number one! So thank you very much, everybody who's been listening and downloading those
especially
podcasts.
Especially in East Macedonia or Northern Moldova.
Thailand, India. So, and if you want to listen to last night's show, by the way, that I did get that podcast up this morning, markhokeshow.podbean.com or any of your favorite podcast outlets. You want to hear what we thought about Crown Jewel. And speaking of Crown Jewel, Fish, before we get into some other stuff, I wanted to make sure you got a shot at Crown Jewel. I thought Crown Jewel was pretty good overall. I give it kind of a B-ish. But, you know, solid pay-per-view.
It was the best WWE pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. Of all the ones they've done, of the world's greatest Royal Rumble, the other Crown Jewel events, this was the best one they've done. That being said, I would absolutely agree. I would give it a B+. I thought, to me, the Edge and Rollins match stole the show.
Absolutely.
And the Goldberg-Lashley match was far better than I thought it was going
Goldberg
to be.
Goldberg was great.
Yes, he was. I thought that match was absolutely phenomenal. I look forward to Raw to see them move that forward now. Other than that, everything else pretty much came to plan. I mean, I knew the Reigns-Lesnar match was going to be as good as it was. So, you know, I was very pleased with the way it all turned out.
Bianca Belair is a beast, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they keep making her, you know, Charlotte worries about looking weak. They've made Bianca Belair look free. For someone who's lost the belt and doesn't have it now, they have made her look amazing.
Well, they better, because they screwed her over at SummerSlam.
And from what I gather now, her husband is going to get a huge push as a single star.
Yeah, we'll see if that goes. Splitting up the Street Profits, maybe. Yeah, so let's destroy another tag team just for fun.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of which, Hit Row made their debut on Friday Night SmackDown, and I was very impressed with them as well.
Yeah, they're looking good. That was one of three things that I watched on SmackDown, because I had some limited time. I saw that and, the Charlotte Becky segment and the coronation of King Woods.
So you didn't see the opening segment, which ended up being...
Oh, yeah, I did watch that,
which
too,
it was like over three segments.
Yeah, I did. That's right. I did watch that, too. Sorry, I forgot. It was just, you know, Lesnar destroying everybody.
Which is typical Lesnar. It's so funny because I remember he did that on Raw, I want to say 5 years ago, and the same result, he was suspended indefinitely for doing it and went crazy just like he did on SmackDown. And, of course, they're suspending him indefinitely so they can write him off TV because he's not contracted for another match this year. So you're not going to see him again probably until the Rumble.
Probably. Never know, maybe he'll pop up at Survivor Series.
Well, no, Survivor Series, you're going to have Reigns versus Big E.
I wish they weren't doing that. I thought that was honestly where Drew McIntyre had his downfall. Where things started going bad for him was when they had him wrestle Roman Reigns in the champion versus champion match there. And Drew lost, so he looks weaker than Roman Reigns. And it just kind of slowly went downhill.
The time that Survivor Series was best when they were doing this sort of thing is when they had NXT as part of it. And I'd love to see NXT champion versus WWE versus SmackDown. Then you can have the North American champion with the Intercontinental and the U.S. title. And then I think that would work.
Well, that would take the creative team doing something right. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm busting their chops.
And you know what? Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. But a good pay-per-view. WWE doesn't have one coming up until Survivor Series. And then a light, none in December. They're doing one on January 1st, which is when they should have done the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown Tour.
This Tuesday, I guess, is kind of, is it this Tuesday or next Tuesday? Kind of a pay-per-view in Halloween Havoc for NXT. But
yeah.
Is that this coming week? Or is
that is this week. Yeah.
I think that's actually going to be Bron Breakker. Does Bron Breakker beat Ciampa? That's the only question I have. Are they going to put the title on Bron Breakker?
Probably. No older, no midgets, as Vince said, so we'll see. But so that was that. But I wanted to make sure we got to talk about AEW because we didn't really get to discuss it too much last night. Rampage was a tape show. Andrade El Idolo and Pac tore it down.
Well, you know, you expect it's really kind of sad because those two should be tearing it down in WWE by all rights if they were smart to keep, because those are two of the fact that they let Neville go and now he's Pac, to me, is one of the more ridiculous moves.
Well, and he got tired of it.
Yeah.
He just hated how he was getting booked. And, you know, and I think the whole thing with Enzo Amore, who, by the way, is back on, going to be on MLW. Is going to be doing some work there. So Enzo's.
And Enzo should just do mic work and that's it. He should be Paul Heyman because that's where Enzo's best.
Yeah.
But yeah, I expect nothing less than great work from Andrade and from Pac.
Yeah. If you haven't seen that match, go back and watch it. It was sensational. And then Dynamite was on Saturday, which WWE thought they'd get cute again. What are they doing? They put an encore presentation of SmackDown with some Crown Jewel stuff mixed in just out of the blue on Saturday night because I guess Fox Network didn't have anything better on. I guess Family Guy was.
Well, it's also because they also had to book, Fox had to book the time in case there was a game 7 of the ALCS and there wasn't. So they had the free spot there.
Yeah. So, hey, Vince, you want to, do a little scab picking? You know?
But, you know, the only thing, it bothers me that the AEW is doing this tournament because it's too easy.
Yeah, you know, and if you haven't seen the brackets, it's looking like Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley are headed towards
a showdown
of Full Gear. I don't see many curveball possibilities in there. Unless they do something with Orange Cassidy, but honestly, I thought Orange Cassidy should have lost to Hobbs.
Yeah, I agree.
They had Matt Hardy there. They could have had Hardy do something that would advance that feud, too. And, you know, Cassidy's in the ribs and the bust up ribs and the whole thing. And let Hobbs get that match. Get a good rub on that win. And, you know, then, you know, Moxley wants to tear him apart. That's fine. But, you know, we're setting up for some good ones. And
I think Moxley Danielson will be a great battle.
Oh, it's going to be a terrific match.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't remember any Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan matches in WWE. Doesn't mean they didn't happen. I just don't remember. Nothing sticks out to me for those two going head-to-head.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it happened, but well, I'll have to go to the Internet Wrestling Database and check that out.
Yeah.
But that is going to, with those two being out of sports entertainment and in the wrestling world, oh, my God.
It's going to be, oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be something. Absolutely.
Do you see any of these guys who have left the WWE, whether it be Moxley, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, any of them? Do you see them at any point going back to WWE?
Not a chance.
I see Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. I see him going back at the end of his career. Maybe not even to wrestle, just as more of a symbolic thing.
Yeah, get in the WWE Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. But Mox is banned. I will guarantee you he will never set foot in a WWE ring again. Of course, should never say never.
That's what they said about Bret Hart.
He's in town. He's probably running down there saying, yeah, you should see what I got planned in 5 years. But yeah, I'd be stunned to see Mox in a ring again in WWE.
And that's a shame because I think he's fantastic. He's a fantastic talent.
He's having too much fun.
Yeah, I know. And rightfully so. He's doing the death matches and with Nick Gage. And
ugh. God, he was torn to shreds. But then, of course, on Dynamite last night, Bryan Danielson wrestled Dustin Rhodes in a match that everybody has been raving about. So I got to see it because I didn't get to see it last night, obviously.
I've seen bits and bobs, and it was a good enough match, but I can't endorse a match that I know who's going to win easily. That there was never, because you can't, when you know Bryan Danielson's going to win, any false finish you have with Dustin Rhodes doesn't matter. Because it's not a false finish, because you know that there's nothing they can do to sell it.
Well, you always have the possibility that maybe the elite was going to come in and do something, and you know, there's little things that you could have possibly had happen, but yeah, I think this one's going to be pretty straightforward. We also had on that card last night, MJF punched Sting. He and Darby Allin.
MJF is the other guy that I can absolutely see as a WWE superstar.
Man,
he is much better than I ever thought he was going to be.
Oh, he, you know what started the fight? Ready for this one? If you didn't hear this, he said that
I did not.
That Darby Allin's currently in the same spot as Sting's old friend Lex Luger in a wheelchair because they attacked him.
Yeah. So was that a shoot punch of Sting or a work punch of Sting?
No, MJF hit him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was it a shoot punch or a work punch?
Work punch.
Okay.
But, wow, and MJF had put up a meme, something about with Xavier Woods, and I'm blanking on the guy that was the referee that had the little thing with Paige. The X-rated tape.
Oh, Corderis?
No, I got it. You know, I should have looked that up. I'm totally blanking on the guy's name.
It's not Earl Hebner.
But he wrestled a little bit. But put a meme up that said those two were going to be fighting for who gets Paige. I'm like, wow.
I'm laughing because I can't picture Earl Hebner in a sex tape with Paige.
Wow. Well, hey, that's a great picture for Sunday morning. Anyway, let's see.
Maybe it'll be his twin brother.
Ruby Soho beat Penelope Ford. Bobby Fish, who's getting a shot at CM Punk.
No relation.
Yeah, it should be, though. Yeah, Bobby Fish, like Bobby Fish. Fish is looking really good.
Thank you. Oh, I mean Bobby Fish.
Yeah. But he's going to wrestle CM Punk next week on Dynamite.
That's a match where going in you go, CM Punk should win, but I would believe a false finish because I could see them putting Bobby Fish over. I could not see them putting Dustin Rhodes over Bryan Danielson.
Yep, and Eddie Kingston beat Lance Archer, so we're going to get Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson.
That should be a good match.
Oh,
but again, I can't see any way Kingston can beat Danielson.
Yeah, there's going to be pain, blues, and agony in that one. That is for sure. And Sammy Guevara, they set up a thing with the Inner Circle, Sammy Guevara and the Men of the Year. So Sammy Guevara is going to be defending the title against... I lost my notes. Well, he's going to be defending the title if he wins.
Again, Shooter, I lost my notes. I don't know him. Is he new to AEW? Shooter, I lost my notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. He was on Dark. Anyway. And Jungle Boy beat Brandon Cutler. Little buddy of the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
So there you go. So,
but Impact, Bound for Glory.
But, yeah. So then in town... So they may be, everybody might be getting on the plane listening to the Mark Hoke Show here on KDWN.
Love you, Bound for Glory.
Yeah, 101.5 FM, 720 AM.
Scott DeMore, you know, just in case.
Yep. So Bound for Glory last night, the belts were flying everywhere. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if they were flying. They were up for grabs, but.
New tag team champions, women's tag team champions, the Knockouts.
Yeah.
Again,
this was my only problem. As good as some of the matches were, and I've seen highlights of the matches, my only problem was the results were predictable.
Yeah. So the Inspiration beats Decay. So that was
the Iconics.
That was the Iconics. First match in Impact, and they win the Knockouts tag team titles.
Didn't see that coming.
Trey Miguel wins the X Division Championship match.
Didn't see that coming.
The Good Brothers held on to the Impact title, titles.
You know what? To me, that's one of the more overrated tag teams in wrestling. The Good Brothers.
Jordynne Grace wins this digital media championship. I got to question that one.
Yeah.
I don't even.
Yeah. Why?
I need to watch a little more Impact.
Impact isn't big enough to have another belt.
Totally not necessary. And then, of course, Mickie James beat Deonna Purrazzo. Kind of a lot of people weren't too happy about it, but because, of course, Deonna has been wrestling and absolutely incredibly over the last year, sure.
And she's had a tremendous work rate. But for Mickie James, it was sort of like here's a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, probably. But but Mickie's been getting active again. And,
no,
you know,
absolutely.
Ever since she was out of WWE, kind of said thanks for popping in for a little while. But Mickie's been out there and with NWA, and now is now the Impact, the Knockouts champion there, and then a double world title change in Impact.
Well, first of all, they had the, what did they call it? It's a mixed, was it a mixed battle royale? Or battle royal?
Oh, yeah, the...
That's how Moose
the got... The call your shot.
Yeah.
Gauntlet match.
But I realized so, it was basically a mixed battle royal.
Yeah, so Moose wins that. Josh Alexander, who had given up the X Division title...
To have a shot at the World Championship.
To get a shot at Christian. Alexander wins the belt. He's in the ring celebrating with his family. And Moose cashes in.
His call your shot. His money in the bank. I mean, his call your shot. His cash in the case.
And Moose is your new Impact World Champion. And I'm going to say this about Moose. I've watched Ring of Honor for a long time. Been a little bit behind on it lately since they'd kind of gotten poached by WWE. But still keeping an eye out. Moose is a guy who has come so far and worked incredibly hard. And I'm so happy for him. He's
a heel terrific. Now, correct? He was a face, but he's a heel now.
Yeah. So Moose
is your new Impact World Champion.
Walks out of Las Vegas as your new Impact World Champion.
And the one thing that you had mentioned to me earlier that I didn't realize, and now it makes sense why they would have first Alexander and then Moose win, is that the AEW Impact agreement, I guess, is kind of being dissolved.
Yeah, that's being reported by a couple different sources that, of course, the AEW has created working relationships with Impact, Game Changer Wrestling, New Japan, to bring all sorts of different people in, create some different matches. But apparently their relationship with Impact is over as of Bound for Glory. So I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
No, but my only problem, I mean, as much as I love the idea of cross-promotions, the only problem is if AEW and Impact have a cross-promotion, then say Impact has a cross-promotion with the Ring of Honor, all of a sudden you can have a Ring of Honor wrestler being the AEW champion.
Right.
And it becomes a little ridiculous.
Yeah, there's some bad possibilities. But yeah, I think the one situation that's going to take place here is the Good Brothers, who have been hanging out with the Elite all the time, are the Impact Tag Team Champions. Does that pull them away from the Elite? Are they done with that?
It depends on their contract status, I guess, at Impact.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see where the future takes.
And to me,
that.
The biggest surprise about Bound for Glory is the fact that Braun Strowman did not show up, because that was the big rumor.
Yeah, there were a few surprise show ups that were supposed to happen.
The Kiss Demon was there.
The Kiss Demon was there. 14 years.
Was it Dale Torborg?
Yep.
It was, okay.
It was Dale Torborg. For those that don't know, back in WCW, they had made a deal with the band Kiss, and they created the Kiss Demon. He's just what you would expect him to look like.
Gene Simmons. Basically.
Didn't go very far. But the Kiss Demon was at Bound for Glory last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was made for loving you, baby.
You were made for loving me.
You betcha. Well, also, another title changed hands last night.
And this to me was even more interesting than all of the Bound for Glory stuff.
As a Ring of Honor guy, boy, I love me them boys. Those Briscoe brothers, Mark and Jay. Well, they had thrown down a challenge to wrestle for the Game Changer Wrestling Tag Team Championships.
Who were the GCW champs?
This was at GCW War Ready, and I wish I had that handy, but I don't. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But the Briscoes are now the GCW Tag Team Champions.
The 11-time Ring of Honor champions have now added another scalp to the pile.
I like the Briscoes. I think they are fantastic. I also like Jay Lethal. I think Jay Lethal is an absolute stud.
Jonathan Grisham's another guy. It was unfortunate that they got so poached over the past 5 years by WWE. WWE, over, say, the past 8 years, if Ring of Honor did not exist, they'd have been in some major trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Seth Rollins is a Ring of Honor. Dude.
Daniel Bryan. AJ Styles was in there.
Samoa Joe.
I mean, the list went on and on of people that came out of Ring of Honor. And if you haven't watched Ring of Honor, they do some great stuff, too. So, always a good watch. And they're on the CW here in town. So.
Yeah, but the only thing I don't like is their shows are only like an hour. It's like, I need more. Give me 2 hours a week.
Yeah, but they do some great pay-per-views. They had Bandido as their champion right now. Beat Rouge a little while ago. So And some terrific matches. So they do this pure, for those that haven't seen it, they have a pure championship where they do this thing where you can only do so many rope breaks and or you end up getting disqualified. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the idea behind it is fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely, and Riccoboni there, Ian Riccoboni, their announcer, is awesome. That dude is terrific. Not quite along the lines of Mario Ranallo, but
right. Where is Mario Ranallo? Is he?
He's still doing fights.
But he's nowhere. No.
He's.
I know. I realize now that Nigel McGuinness is doing UK. Because by the way, I do love Wade Barrett on NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, he's terrific.
And I really like Pat McAfee on SmackDown. I didn't realize that I would, but I really like Pat McAfee.
Oh, Pat's crazy.
He's got a great personality.
Yes, he does.
And really quickly, because we only have a few minutes left, I just want to talk about Raw on Monday night and what you're expecting, if anything, because this is going to be the new season of Raw. Obviously, all the new guys who are the new draft picks are all coming in. Are you expecting anything exciting, interesting coming up on Raw?
I don't know. Raw is so up and down. Now you took Bobby Lashley out again, too. Big E, obviously the reign of Big E is on everybody's mind.
Yeah, the Monday Night Messiah will be back as the Monday Night Messiah, I would imagine.
What I'm curious, and I asked James about this last night, is what do you do with Edge? Where does Edge go from here?
Well, I guess, and it would be interesting because they have never wrestled, Edge versus Big E could happen.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it. Possibly see a heel turn with Edge.
Or you just go face versus face for the match. No, I agree, because you can't have Edge and Rollins anymore. And I still want to know what you're doing with Kevin Owens, because talk about a guy whose talent is being wasted.
Yeah, he gone.
That's a shame, because he he's a great face, but he's a better heel.
Yeah, and for those that didn't see Kevin Owens in ring, or as Kevin Steen.
Yes.
You know, he and El Generico, which is Sami Zayn.
Right.
Have been partners, enemies, and every time you see them wrestle, from NXT to WWE, they just tear the house down.
And now they've been split up, obviously, because Sammy's on SmackDown and Kevin's on Raw. The other question I have, and this is the other big rumor, is that Almost is going to smash AJ Styles for being the weak link.
And James and I were talking about that last night, too, is what do you do with Almost?
Because when I before I just thought he was just this big lumbering dude, but when I saw his kick, that's a pretty amazing kick the dude has. He has some moves.
He's getting there. I like his character in the ring. I like his psychology. I think that he is really starting to come into his own as a character. The ring stuff needs work.
But at the same time, it's time for him to split from AJ. He can go with somebody else if he wants. Maybe he joins the Hurt Business.
Ooh. That would be scary. Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought of that.
Because right now I think Bearcat's going to join the Hurt Business.
Yeah.
And they got to do something with Keith Lee.
Yeah. We'll see where they take it. I mean, it's just hard to trust WWE Creative at this point.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do with Damian Priest now?
Well, that's another good question. And then you got, you still, of course, the tag team champs, Riddle and
RK-Bro.
And Orton. I think they're going to stay together for a while. And one other guy that's in the mix there is Karrion Kross.
Who, apparently they're changing his character.
Yeah, they're going to go back and do what they were doing with him before.
They're going to put him like
brilliant.
They're going to put him like in a business suit.
God, I hope not. That would be horrifying.
And, poor guy. Now are the Street Profits going to be challenging RK-Bro? Is that where we go from here?
Well, that's a face versus face match, but the problem is the tag team situation is so screwed up over there.
You had the Dirty Dogs, who they book so poorly, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Vince is in his anti-tag team mode again. So,
and it's so obvious when that happens. But I think Almost and AJ Styles have to split. I think that Almost goes, basically, every time we've lost is because you've gotten pinned. I've never been pinned, and he's never been pinned. He hasn't even been close to being pinned.
No, he's not.
I don't think I've ever seen Almost on his back.
Yeah, I think maybe on a knee, but that's about it. Yep. So we'll see where all that goes tomorrow night.
That's why to me, Raw is going to be very interesting, not because they have great stories going on. It's because I want to see what they start doing with these stories.
Yeah. And, well, speaking of a couple other stories, I wanted to make sure we got
Paul Heyman,
here.
Paul Heyman, Paul Heyman.
We're getting to that one. We're getting to that one. Congratulations to Carmella and Corey Graves.
They got married?
Who got engaged.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On Carmella's birthday.
And that's why Carmella's now on Raw, because they try to keep couples together.
Yes, they do. So congratulations to those two. Corey, who's been drooling on her on commentary all the time, well, I guess they're...
Continue to drool.
They're gonna drool away for hopefully the rest of their lives. So congratulations to the...
Do you like Jimmy Smith, by the way, on commentary?
Yeah.
I'm not overly impressed. I mean, I don't hate him, but I'm just like, eh. I just wanted your opinion.
He's getting there. It'll take a little time. Got to get used to Vince yelling.
I can do that Byron Saxton, though.
Yeah. And this was an interesting story. The pornographic website Brazzers made an offer to Paul Heyman saying, hey, we'd like to have two of our stars fight over you. Heyman's response.
I love that idea.
It would be better if they were fighting underneath me. Trust me.
See? And that's why Paul Heyman is a genius.
Yep, so there you go. And I hit that button about 5 seconds late, so that'll screw everything up. But that's okay. Hey, great show, Fish.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Hey, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, Twitter, @ Mark Hoke Show. We'd love to have you join us on there. Podcasts available, markhokeshow.podbean.com, and all your favorite outlets. markhokeshow.com is a website as well. Hey, it's only getting better from here. We're number one, baby.
Happy Sunday.
You betcha. Have a terrific day, everybody. We will see you actually next Saturday night, 8 p.m. So join us then.